Yeah, I'm honored to be here again. It's as if like every time I'm here, there's some sort of a commissioning. I think last time I was here, there was a commissioning. I remember someone, the same person was praying too. But anyway, yes, I guess legacy was is a word that I enjoy using quite a lot. Well, anyway, just in case you do not know me, I'm Alan Chow. Some would know me as Pastor Alan, and some would call me Uncle Alan. And that's what I love about this church. We are really just like a family. And it's good to walk into a church. People call you Uncle, Auntie, and I just really love the family atmosphere in this church. I suppose other than missions, this is probably another one of our legacy. At least it's something that we all remember as to what we do and also us, who we are. Just to some of you may be interested in church history or almanac, I was the first English pastor here at this church. And but this church was still known as Pacific Grace Chinese Church. And this is the first church I serve as a pastor. I would forever be grateful to this church for giving me the opportunity to serve here. This church always will occupy a very special place in my heart. Whenever I'm in the neighborhood or vacationing, conferencing or family gatherings, if time allows, I would always find myself in this church, announced or unannounced. My parents live very close to, actually walking distance from the old site of Pacific Grace. So from time to time, I would just walk around the old neighborhood, walk around the church, walk around the park, and even walked around the old church office, the church office. It's just refreshing my memories of this church, which today I would still call it home. I don't know whether you get a chance to go back to this neighborhood and see, look from this picture there. This is the old Pacific Grace. I guess I'll do it. There you go. I'm sorry. Did not have to press the button. I don't know when was the last time you actually got a chance to go back. And I got a chance to walk around a little bit yesterday. I'm proud of this church. I have no regrets serving here. Well, almost none, actually. If there's one, I regret that I left too early. Kathy is very nice and gave me a few more months. Technically speaking, I only serve here 2 years and 5 months. not quite 3 years. And this is, as I said, this is one of my biggest regrets. 2 years and 5 months can hardly allow anybody to build a community. 2 years and 5 months are too short to make any impact in anyone's life. I'm just so glad I still make some friends. I'm still just so glad that today I walked in this church, someone is still kind enough to just give me a hug. As I'm looking at legacy, in a few years I'll be preparing for my own retirement and look forward to passing the baton to someone else. And I would humbly ask the leadership of Pacific Grace if they were just kind enough to give me a one-day contract so I can officially retire as a pastor at Pacific Grace. Well, after that, I'm ready to turn a new page in my life and also my ministry, visiting and speaking at various places and cities, maybe even countries, and becoming an interim pastor and or advisory pastor for various churches. As for now, I'm just happy to be a pastor, serving locally in the church, and the Lord has trusted me with. I enjoy leading worship, speaking not just in English, Cantonese, but also Mandarin, leading the church and setting the church direction. And to me, man, what an awesome job. And today I want to share with you from the fourth chapter of the second letter from Paul to Timothy. The Apostle Paul at the time was in prison in Rome, facing his own mortality, ready himself to pass the baton to Timothy, his prized student and his beloved son. Now let me just give you a quick summary of 2 Timothy. Paul encourages Timothy in his first chapter to be faithful. In the second chapter, he would encourage him to also be fruitful. And in the third chapter, I believe he encouraged Timothy to be focused. Focus on the right and proper priorities in life. And chapter 4 would be Paul's, this great apostle's last words. At least his last written words to Timothy. Now, I believe a great person's last words are significant and also very indicative of his life. They are the window that helps us to look into his heart or something that we measure that help us evaluate his life. Now, Paul expressed no regrets as he came to the end of his life. He pulled no punches. He even forgave those who made his life miserable and difficult. And believe me, there are people like that. There are always people who make your life just so miserable and so difficult. But at the end of Paul's life, it didn't matter anymore. And in the very last chapter of 2 Timothy, Paul mentioned at least 17 people. He refers at least 17 people in this chapter. And I think it shows a lot. I think it's something even I would often neglect. As a person that very task-oriented, as a person that was really very gung-ho and doing a lot of things, and often would neglect or even forget that Paul is a very different person. He's not only a soul winner, but he's also a friend maker. His own days were numbered, but Paul thought of others. And so let us begin with verse 1. In verse 1, if you have your Bible, turn it to me. Turn it with me. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Why do I use that? Because it's free. I charge in the presence of God and of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appealing and his kingdom. And then verse 2, it says, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Now I think it's not hard for us to find the first charge or instruction that Paul was giving to Timothy. Preach the word, or proclaim the word. And Paul will also give the reasons for placing preach the word as on the top of his priority. Verse 3 and 4 is that, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Now, I don't know what your impression is like to read even just the first few verses. When I read it, I have a very strong reaction to it. I said, why, you know? If I were Timothy, you know, I would have probably serious questions. You know, why would you tell me to do something guaranteed to fail? Now, why would you want me to speak and no one would listen? Or why do you want me to do something unproductive? I mean, after all, in chapter 3, Paul just talked about fruitfulness. I don't understand. You know, I really don't understand. The more I think about it, I think, well, yeah, it is awfully difficult. It is not an easy choice. Especially in this generation, we always talk about fruitfulness. We also talk about faithfulness. But sometimes you can't have both. I appreciate some pastors who always serve in a very small church with very few individuals to show. That's why I appreciate church like Pacific Grace. Like if you ever go back to the old neighborhood, you look at that church. We have only 5 parking spaces. I mean, how could a church grow like this? How could a church, after so many years, now that we have, 6 or 7 or 8, I don't know how many Pacific Grace do we have now. It's almost like it's impossible. Yeah, believe me, faithfulness and fruitfulness do not always come together. Then all of a sudden, just think about it and say, well, I understand. And allow me to clarify, you know, I really believe God takes care of fruitfulness. And we are responsible to be faithful. Now, of course, Paul's first charge to Timothy is to preach the word. Now, some of you may be thinking, now, what does it do with me? Some of you may be just relieved that you're off the hook. Because after all, I don't preach. I'm not a preacher. See, Paul, the mentor, was charging Timothy, the mentee, or Paul, the senior pastor, was instructing Timothy, his associate pastor, to preach the word. And as I said, most of you are not pastors, are not preachers. True. Timothy is also is called to be a preacher and pastor, and most of you are not. So what is this passage have to do with you? But I do believe all of you are commissioned to do something. Maybe some of you will be going to Cambodia. Maybe some of you will going to something somewhere else. Maybe some of you will never go anywhere, just stay here. But you have something to do here. You are called to do something. And I'm really appreciative of people going to overseas and minister there. I got an opportunity to go to Cambodia several years ago. Actually, I got a chance to go there twice. Seeing the people there will melt your heart. Two of the biggest needs in Cambodia, I think one of which you guys already will be doing that, it's to digging wells, maybe. It's to take care of the water system. It's been going on for ages because after all those years of civil wars, they're still doing it. The ground is still very much polluted. It's got to find some source of water. The second biggest need is taking care of the orphans. Again, after the years of civil wars, you see just all those orphans. When I was there, I talked to one of the churches there, and they grew. I mean, they just simply grew. When they first went there, they do a very traditional church plan, and with very little result. But week after week, they noticed there would be a lot of kids going to their church and their playground and start playing there. And they start to talk to the kids and finally realize they're all orphans. They have nowhere to go. They have no place to go at all. No place to sleep. And this church started to just take them in. And later on, every church they would church plan, there will always be an orphanage. There will always be some sort of social enterprise to make that church to be self-supportive. I'll definitely be praying for you that you see a lot of fruits. You'll see a result in what you do. But God will take care of that. It's not something that will be pushed. It is for you to be just faithful. But God would probably allow some of you that may not get a chance to go, but you have ample of opportunities to exercise your spiritual gift. You're given opportunities to use your talents in this church. So I would just encourage you to use your gift. Use your talent. Use whatever the Lord has given you for His glory. Be responsible with what you have. Be accountable to God and be responsible to people that God has entrusted you with. And that's how I understand Paul's first charge to Timothy. Yes, the word is, preach the word. But it will also ask you to be accountable. To be accountable. And then in verse 5, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I love to sing, but I love to tell stories also. So over the years, I've grown to be a more sort of a decent storyteller. At least I hope. I don't think it's surprising that most of the time when I preach, I use narratives. I tell stories. But for the sake of my congregation, I would give them just complete diet. So from time to time, I would preach from the epistles. I would preach from the Psalms. And just preach from various genres of the Bible. And of course, I would preach from the epistles, or some would call it letters. Now, one of the tricks to study the epistles is follow the verbs. Like the first point, the key verb is to preach. And as for verse 5, the verb is fulfill. It's fulfill. Now, what does it mean to fulfill? What does it mean to fulfill your ministry? To fulfill is to complete, to bring to a closure, to finish, and to end what you have started. Believe me, we have so many people that I've met over the years. They're so talented, so gifted, yet they cannot finish. They started a lot of things, very meaningful, but they cannot finish. It is important to complete, to finish. I'm glad when you moved into this building several years ago, it was sort of complete. It's a one big package already done. Well, the church I'm pastoring now moved in this the facility about like 13 years ago. They converted an old warehouse to a church-like building. The plan was to have four phases. Unfortunately, we can't finish. We have four phases, we only finished two. Now, why can't we finish? Well, first, of course, we ran out of money. I'm glad you guys are going well, going strong. Another reason is that the general contractor just quit on us. He just simply left. And only two of the four phases were finished. I think those are the reasons that we can probably take care of. But one thing we can, if we can try to do something about it to make it go, is that we need to continue with the steam. I have to say, we just ran out of steam. People are just tired. We've done it so long and just didn't want to continue. We didn't have the determination to continue. But I think it's also true for a lot of churches. People simply lose steam. So the next thing I want to share with you, at least in Paul's words, is to fulfill your ministry. I would give you the words to be determined. Be determined. As I said earlier, I don't have very many regrets in this church. I love this church. I love the people here. But as I said, my regrets that I left too early. A few years after I left, I actually came back and called a meeting with the leaders of the English congregation. I apologized to them for leaving too soon and asked for their forgiveness. They were so graceful, and they forgave this pastor that actually quit on them. And finally, brought a closure to this relationship. So, brothers and sisters, be determined to complete what you have started. And Paul then revealed to Timothy his secret to success. Now, to me, I think it's simple. This is like driving a car. I don't know how many of you still have not gotten your driver's license yet. Driving is simple, but at the same time, it's just like you need to just check around. So, like looking at really driving, I see it as like a few things that we need to look into. We need to look around. We need to look back in case you have to back up your car. We also need to look ahead, look in front of you as to what's there. Now, I'm not saying that by doing that, I guarantee you wouldn't have any accident. But I would probably say that you have a lot less of an opportunity to get into some sort of an accident. Look around. I think that's what Paul was trying to say, is that like in this case, he said it in verse 6, "For I'm ready being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." Now, I think it's not hard to do it. Paul would just simply look around. There aren't very many friends that he started with are still there. He'll just look around and see, well, it's only just a few individuals are still there. He knows that he's getting older. Someone just commented today, I'm getting a lot of gray hair. Yes, I'm getting older too. But I think really the first thing, we gotta look around. Look around. And we also have to look back. And Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. But he also looked ahead. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to those who have loved his appearing. But of course, I believe Paul also looked up to God. So look around, look back, look ahead, and look up. And then in verse 9, which is a little bit extra from the text I want to use, said it's strange. At the end, Paul went to something very private, personal matters. He asked Timothy, do your best to come to me soon. And then Paul listed a number of people. Some helped him, some hurt him, some faithful, some unfaithful. Yet Timothy is the one that he wanted to see. The only one he wanted to be with. The one he wanted to be on his side. Yes, I know that Paul was close to the end of his life. Now, I can't help but recall a story. When I was working in a hospital many years ago, when I was supporting myself through college, I had a job that's not the most admirable job, work in hospital as a phlebotomist. And in case you don't know what a phlebotomist is, some would call it a bloodsucker, some would call it a vampire. But anyway, I drew blood from patients. When I went up to CCU and collect blood from an old lady, I'm very professional and done with collecting the blood, and I greet her bye-bye, goodbye, and just leave. And then she just waved at me, asked me just to come back. And she tried very hard to just to sit up. And then also waved me to just come forward. Of course, I did. And later on, I still remember what happened. She just reached up her arms, just grabbed me and hold me and hug me. Again, I was very professional, let her hug me for a while. I don't know how long it is. So I returned to the lab. Next day, I was just so curious. Went up to the same floor and was in the same room. She's no longer there. I mean, she's no longer there. She's gone. I may be the very last person that she hugged. And I also feel bad that no one is by her side. I understand why Paul was asking Timothy to join him by his side. It can be lonely. Come to me soon. I would interpret it as Paul just telling Timothy to be responsive to him and to others. This chapter, to me, is about finishing well. And to finishing strong. I gave sort of an outline, as at least my outline, to see what 2 Timothy is. First chapter is to be faithful. Second chapter is to be fruitful. Third chapter is to be focused. I would call it the fourth chapter is be free. In case you wonder, free from what? Free from regrets. Free from regrets. No more regrets. Yes, indeed, there's so many places I want to go. There's so many people I want to meet, and so many things I want to do. But after all those years, I feel like that my life will be free from regret if I can just meet just one extra person that I don't get a chance to meet. I can serve one extra person that I may not have the opportunity to. I can care for another person that may have been neglected by the world. So be responsive. Once again, thank you that give me the opportunity to be here. It is always a delight for me to share with you. It is always good to see good friends and people that I love and care so much. And may this church continue with the legacy that God has given this great church. And all of you has something to do with it. Shall we pray? Dear God, once again, thank you for your goodness, for the ministry in this church, for the staff in this church, and for the many opportunities we can just reach out to the community. Thank you for the many people who don't go overseas and minister there, but at the same time, also very grateful for the very many people that will stay behind and supporting them, pray for them, but yet they also have a very strong and meaningful ministry here. Continue to guide this church. Continue to keep people in this church in your care. That they can do all things for your glory. That certainly, whenever people in and out of this church, there won't be any regrets. Thank you once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.